This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet, maybe they're animal smells. Maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own 3 of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get 2. Be like me and get 3. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse.
Big lies. They tell big lies, and the reason they tell big lies is, well, I'll tell you that in a second. Also, the George Floyd trial is going on. How is that going? What are the actual facts? Talk about all that coming up next on I'm Right. How often do I talk to you about the system and why I call it a system? For you newbies, here's what the system is. We have in this country, as every nation does, we have a bunch of cultural institutions, and your nation's made up of these. It's your federal government, your justice system, but it's not just government things. It's the media. That's part of your system, your education department. These things make up your system, your private businesses. All of them make up your cultural institutions. Well, when you have gone sideways, as we have gone sideways, and you've educated generation after generation after generation of Americans in anti-government school or in anti-American government schools, what you have is exactly what we have now. You have a system that is completely controlled by people who detest the very country in which they reside. Now, well, I've talked to you about this 1,000 times and why this is damaging, and it's not hard to figure out why it would be damaging. Let's see. Department of Justice pushes a lie. Half the Democratic Party pushes the lie, or all the Democratic Party pushes a lie. Half the Republicans, FBI goes along with it. Soon you have every media personality going along with it. Hollywood goes along with it. Your professor's going along with it. Your kids' fifth grade teacher's going along with it. And so on and so on and so on and so forth. Everybody in the system says the same thing because they're all working towards the same goal, a disgusting leftist goal which thinks the United States of America is racist and sexist and frankly deserves to be brought to its knees. That's what they believe. Well, all that is a fact, but part of what having an entire system under your control, part of the benefit of that if you're the left or the right, although we don't control anything now, but part of the benefit is you can get people to believe whatever you want them to believe. Because they won't be able to hear any alternate point of views. I've said this before. You've encountered a Democrat in your family, at a neighborhood party, a little kid's school function. And at some point in your life, especially in recent years, you've encountered a leftist. Why are they angry? Why do they get so angry? Well, here's why. Because without even knowing it, they reside in a system that only pushes their message and reinforces their beliefs. So when they encounter something that goes outside of their beliefs, it's shocking to them. It makes them angry. You get mad sometimes, but you're not always angry like that. Why? Because everything you encounter is against your beliefs. It's not abnormal when you run into a Democrat to hear that point of view. You hear that point of view everywhere. Everywhere you go. You turn on the TV, there it is. You send your kids to school, that's what they hear. TV commercials, corporations. You can't walk in a store now without being beaten over the face with something. And it makes it so they can tell lies. Huge lies. Lies they get virtually no pushback on. You remember Joe Biden started out his presidential campaign talking about Donald Trump saying there were very fine people at Charlottesville. I'm not going to go over that with you right now, but that is on video, a bald-faced lie and not what he said. It's not like this was a backroom conversation we didn't have access to. On camera, we have him saying it. We have him not saying what Joe Biden said. He based his campaign off a complete fabrication, and the entire American media in all of Hollywood picked it up and ran with it for him. Oh, you're right. Very fine people. Half the country to this day still believes it because that's what the system told them. Half this country right now believes that Georgia just passed some voter ID law that is equivalent to, what are they calling it, Jim Crow? That it's a racist thing? That we already have left-wing militias at the Georgia Capitol. They're already down there arming up to fight back against this tyrannical government and except it's all a lie. It was a lie told by the President of the United States of America himself. You want to know what Joe Biden had to say about this law? Joe Biden, this is not a small thing. This is the leader of the free world. This is the President of the United States. And he is a man who understands the entire system will repeat what he says, even if it's a total lie, just like the entire system repeated his Charlottesville lie. Here's what Joe Biden had to say.
It's sick. It's sick. Deciding in some states that you cannot bring water to people standing in line, waiting to vote. Deciding that you're going to end voting at 5 o'clock when working people are just getting off work. This makes Jim Crow look like Jim Eagle. I mean, this is gigantic what they're trying to do, and it cannot be sustained.
President of the United States of America. What the bill actually says about the handing out water thing is this, quote, this is directly from it, no person shall solicit votes in any manner or by any means or method, or nor shall any person distribute or display any campaign material, nor shall any person give, offer to give, or participate in the giving of any money or gifts, including but not limited to food and drink, to an elector. Now, why would you put that in a law? Well, you know how it works in big cities and disgusting Democrat areas? I know how it works. I know how it works really, really well. They set up water stations where they will hand you a water bottle and a card on how they think you should vote. People buy votes using lots of different methods in this country, and they always have. I'm not going to act like that was unique to any one particular election. Election corruption is the norm. Handing out gifts at a polling place is a recipe for more corruption. Now, according to that second lie Joe Biden said, the weird one about the work, even the freaking Washington Post actually said something about it. Quote, one could understand a flub in the news conference, but then this same claim popped up in an official presidential statement. Not a single expert we consulted who has studied the law understood why Biden made this claim, as this was the section of the law that expanded voting for many Georgians. That's right. That's right. Didn't restrict voting. It's not a, sorry, you were at work, you can't vote. Expanded voting, and yet the system is so corrupt and so broken and so in it together, you have the freedom to just stand up and say flat out lies, and they'll be sold as truths to the masses. And at least half the masses will believe it. That's what we're up against. And of course, when I call it the system, I don't just mean the government and Hollywood and whatnot. Corporate America is a big part of it now. Sports are a big part of it now. This didn't used to be so, even 5-10 years ago. But now, the arena of sports, it has moved into the system. And why did that happen? Let's clarify this before we talk about Major League Baseball and everything. This is hard to hear, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway, because we tell hard truths on this show. Why did sports move left? Why? Why did they do it really? Well, If you ever talk to somebody who came up in the Soviet Union or East Germany or a place like that, any one of these communist-controlled countries, Hungary for a while, what they will tell you is this, and it's shocking when you first hear it, but what they will tell you is this. Husbands would routinely inform on their wives to the government and have their wife arrested. Wives would do it to their husbands. Parents would do it to their kids. Kids would do it to their parents. Widespread distrust in informing on the people you would die for, right? The people you love. Why? What would make you do that? Well, here's the reality of it. When you are in a rotted out, Marxist, disgusting system like the one we currently have, they make life really, really nice when you just choose to become part of it and go along with the program. And on the other hand, they will absolutely destroy you if you don't. In East Germany, for instance, if you were a loyal party member, if you could get a job with the Stasi, if you could get that job, you're eating good, you're driving good, little extra money to spend on your old lady on a Friday night. Life is good. If you became an enemy of the Stasi, you get your fingernails pulled out in a dungeon somewhere before they shoot you in the back of the head. They make life really, really good and a lot easier to just say what the system wants you to say and do what the system wants you to do. And they will utterly destroy you if you choose to oppose them. That's why people go along with it. So many people who know better, a lot of these people do know better, but they go along with it. Major League Baseball is going along with it. They're already threatening to pull the All-Star game out of Atlanta because of this law. And don't think they're alone either. Don't think they're alone. There's more to come. Why can they do this? Well, here's the President of the United States.
So, Mr. President, what do you think about the possibility that baseball decides to move their All-Star game out of Atlanta because of this political issue?
I think today's professional athletes are acting incredibly responsibly. I would strongly support them doing that. People look to them. They're leaders. Look at what's happened with the NBA as well. Look at what's happened across the board. The very people who are victimized the most are the people who are the leaders in these various sports. And it's just not right. This is Jim Crow on steroids, what they're doing in Georgia.
Jim Crow on steroids. And did you hear about those athletes? They've been victimized the most. I mean, I don't know about you. I lay awake at night and I weep for the life these NBA players have to live. Oh, man, nobody should have to experience poverty and misery like that. That's real oppression. That's real oppression. It's not just sports. We got Delta Airlines. CEO of Delta Airlines comes out. Based on a lie, he's threatening to pull this and pull that. Not just Delta either. Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola's CEO went on TV, repeated the system's lie.
Let me be crystal clear and unequivocal. This legislation is unacceptable. It is a step backwards. This legislation is wrong and needs to be remedied, and we will continue to advocate for it, both in private and now even more clearly in public.
He's very mad, but you can't ask for ID. How could you ask for ID? That is racist. It's Jim Crow. Well, that's weird because at Coca-Cola's annual meeting, you have to show ID to get in. Funny how that works. And it's not just sports. It's not just airlines. It's not just little soda pop. Of course, Hollywood's going to get in on the action. Mark Hamill, that guy who lucked into the role of Luke Skywalker, he's threatening that they'll never make films there. We're not doing, what did he say? No more filming in Geoga? He didn't manage to actually spell Georgia right, but it is what it is. That's what I mean when I say the system. Anyone can tell a big lie. It doesn't have to start with the president, but the Democrats will all repeat it, and the media will all repeat it, and Hollywood will repeat it, and athletes will repeat it, and the corporate world will repeat it, and your kid's school teacher will repeat it, and soon everyone believes a lie. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Now, Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare.
These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up. Or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE, or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out.
It's difficult to quit dipping. Don't believe anybody who tells you, oh, you should quit. It can't be that hard. I dipped for a long time. It's very, very hard. You need help. Jake's Mint Chew is the way you're going to be able to quit, because it's nicotine-free. It's tobacco-free. But it still gives you something to put in your lip. Go to jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Use the promo code Jesse. That'll get you 20% off. It is the way you're going to do this. You can do it. jakesmintchew.com. We'll be back. I realize we haven't talked a lot about the Derek Chauvin trial in Minneapolis. Why? Well, I know this is going to sound crazy. This is going to sound insane. I swear I haven't lost my mind, but I'm kind of interested in waiting for the facts to come out. Because I distinctly remember American cities being torched by communist activists in Black Lives Matter and Antifa over an entire summer based on a complete lie that Derek Chauvin was some card-carrying racist who murdered George Floyd for the color of his skin. Now, did he murder him or not? I don't know. I'm waiting for all this information to come out. One thing I do know is they've ripped apart the life of Derek Chauvin. They've talked to ex-girlfriends, social media, you name it, and there's nothing in the guy's background to indicate this thing was racially motivated at all. So I've already watched the system tell you yet another gigantic lie. And off of that lie, I watched even half the GOP go, oh, yeah, we do need federal police reform. We definitely have a lot of racist cops. Okay, well, there's no statistical evidence of that at all. So I haven't really been touching on the trial. I haven't been talking about the trial. I've been paying attention. As it looks right now, how it looks is this, and this is just how it looks to me. I'm not telling you this is a fact. It looks to me like Derek Chauvin was probably a bad cop. Looks to me like George Floyd probably died of a drug overdose. Those two things don't mean I have some kind of take on the outcome of the trial, but that's what's happening. And what makes me mad is we're going to have to go through all those riots again. If Derek Chauvin gets off, and I have attorney friends who are telling me he's going to get off because they overcharged him. Now, that's not my area. I'm not a legal expert, but that's what they're telling me. If Derek Chauvin gets off, we're going to have another repeat of the big lie that there's not any justice and cops are hunting down black men and then they don't even get prosecuted for it. Okay, that's not happening because the system all decided, because everyone in the system decided on one lie doesn't make it a fact at all. And I mean, you can't get a straight scoop out there on it. I just told you how I feel. This is the kind of idiotic absurdity you're getting from places like CNN.
I feel helpless. I don't have a mama either. I understand him. My mom died June 25th.
Hang on just 1 second, Mr.
Let's take a 10-minute break.
We'll take a little break.
Okay, we're gonna come out of this. Oof, forgive me. Just watching a grown man,
Okay, so clearly you're going to get a lot of propaganda during this whole thing. And look, I don't know if Derek Chauvin is guilty or not. I don't know if he murdered George Floyd or not. I don't know. I'm hoping we find out. But How committed is the system to making sure he gets convicted? Well, here's maybe the creepiest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. The New York Times is one of the biggest, actually, let's be frank, it's the biggest newspaper in the United States of America. This is what they tweeted. Quote, the 12 jury members and two alternates in the Derek Chauvin trial remain anonymous and their faces can't be shown on camera. Here's what we do know about them. I'm sorry, what? Here's what we do know about them? You all know the game here. Everybody knows the game. That you told a big lie. And you insisted that other people they're not only not allowed to oppose the lie, they have to repeat the lie. Remember they would do that, those Black Lives Matter scumbags, to people eating outside? They'd surround their table and scream at them and make them raise their fists up and things like that. That's how committed the system is. And now that they've told a big lie, the system's going to do what it does. The system lies, and then it lies about the lies, and then it lies about lying about the lies, and then it demands that you call the lies truths. They're going to tell a gigantic lie like they always have, and they're going to insist that you take a big old bite of that lie sandwich and smile and tell them how good it tastes. Well, I don't play those games on this show, so count me out on all that. I will keep you posted on the system's newest lies. There are a lot of them.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now, there's a barmaid there, good-looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? My drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of the Jordan Harbinger Show.
All right, what can you do to help your country? Go become a member of Mammoth Nation today. Today. I'm not telling you to do anything I haven't done myself. I am a lifetime member of Mammoth Nation. And look, I get something for it. When you become a member of Mammoth Nation, your money goes to candidates running for office who believe what you and I believe, people who are going to stand and actually fight, which Lord knows we need a lot of those. What do you get? Well, do you have a cell phone? Telehealth? You ever travel? Stay at a hotel? Shopping? Ever do any of those things? You get discounts. Go to mammothnation.com/Jesse. That's mammothnation.com/Jesse. We'll be back. Well, this is one of my favorite guests, as everybody knows. We have the CDC director saying this, and then I'm going to bring in Nan Hayworth.
Our data from the CDC today suggests, that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick, and that it's not just in the clinical trials, but it's also in real-world data.
Okay, I'm pretty much lost at this point in time, so we need Nan to help us out. She's a doctor, she's with the Independent Women's Forum, she's a former congressman, so basically she's done everything. Nan, I have so many mixed messages about the vaccine and vaccination. Like I've told everybody, it's not my business, it's your body. Get it if you want it, don't get it if you don't. But I hear there's a new headline every day. You can get it and then you can get the vaccine and still spread it. You can get the vaccine and still get coronavirus and get sick from it. You get the vaccine and you can't. Nan, what is real?
Well, Jesse, thank you. Those are all great questions. And you're right. In the fog of coronavirus, people have become... We have been buffeted by a lot of conflicting information. So here's the deal. And by the way, full disclosure, yesterday I received my second shot of the Pfizer vaccine, and so far so good. I feel good.
Good.
But the vaccines in real life data, in other words, the clinical trial data were very favorable for Pfizer, for Moderna, which are both very similar vaccines, for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Those are the three, of course, approved in the United States. So that the clinical trial evidence was really strong that they were both safe and effective. The great news is that's been borne out even more strongly by so-called real-life experience. In other words, following folks who have had these vaccines. So they seem to be doing what they're supposed to do for the almost everybody. They're very well tolerated. I highly recommend them for everyone. And I think where we start to get into difficulties is that indeed, with anything that is administered across millions and millions of folks in a human population, there are going to be some rare events. But when I say rare, I really do mean rare, you know, like one in a million of adverse consequences that seem directly related to the vaccine. Then, Jesse, there are all kinds of other things that happen in conjunction with getting the vaccine that probably are not related. You know, people do have things happen to them, especially along the lines of cardiovascular events like heart attacks and strokes. So, you know, we have to be careful consumers of information. I don't think a vaccine passport should be required for people. That's obviously another topic we can talk about. But I do urge everyone, if the vaccine is available to you and your doctor hasn't said, I'm really concerned that you might have a problem with it, that's not going to be very commonplace. I think it's a good idea to get it.
Nan, what do you say, just playing devil's advocate with you, what do you say to the person who says, we have a virus with over 99% survivability, why do I need to get a vaccine for such a virus? I give you the floor. What do you say to that person?
Well, I appreciate that. And that is a correct statement. Here's the challenge we have. And by the way, we pretty much know. I mean, we know at this point statistically who's at the greatest risk. People who are hypertensive, people who are obese. Both of those conditions, of course, we can manage behaviorally and with medication. Diabetics are at risk. Those are the conspicuous categories. And of course, the elderly. But, you know, the thing about, you know, going on a broad population basis is that there are still going to be people who get picked off by this virus in a very cruel way. And so they form part of that contingent of deaths. If we can help mitigate the course of disease so that people don't get very sick, certainly don't die from it, you know, we have lost you know, 500,000 folks in the United States to this virus, and not every one of them had a known risk factor. So given that the vaccine itself actually has a safety record that outstrips that of the virus, the risk-benefit ratio still falls on the side of getting the vaccine.
Nan, I wanted to ask you about that 500,000 number, because I actually had that conversation with a friend. As you know, I've been way anti-lockdown and all that, but I had a friend who was telling me he didn't think the virus was real or something like that. And I said, well, that's not necessarily true, buddy. I mean, 500,000 people have freaking died from it in this country. And to which he said to me, there were the same amount of deaths in America last year as there always are. Why was there not a $500,000 increase? And Nan, I'll be honest, not much stumps me, but I didn't have a good response. What should my response have been?
Well, Jesse, it does look as though the best figures I've seen so far do indicate that there have been excess deaths, but not all of them are directly attributable to the virus. And you're absolutely right in being skeptical about the figures, because quite honestly, a lot of those deaths may very well have been deaths with COVID, but not deaths from COVID. Wow. So especially early on, the keeping of figures was fraught with fallibility. But that said, we know there has been a significant death toll. And even reliably speaking, even if it's not 500,000, if it's 400,000, it's still more people than we want to see. But here's the other part of it. Those excess deaths are not solely attributable to the virus. A lot of those excess deaths are among younger Americans, and they are attributable to deaths of despair, suicides, drug overdoses. There are Americans who have missed diagnosis of deadly diseases like cancers. So they too must be included. And I am completely with you on the dangers of lockdowns. And so lockdowns should never be used. I could not agree more about that. Certainly not on any broad basis.
Nan, these vaccine passports concern me a great deal, a great deal. I mean, I don't trust the government, period. Now I have to have something on my phone to scan it before I can go get on a plane, before I can go to a concert. This stuff's already happening in limited capacity in places like New York City, if you want to get to Madison Square Garden. Are we going to stop this, or is this going to be a thing? Because I feel like it's going to be a thing.
Yeah, I too feel as though it's going to be a thing, Jesse. For a lot of reasons. And I think once it becomes a folkway, I think living in New York Metro, you know, I know these folks. And certainly in New York Metro, there's a very significant number of citizens who are fearful and who want to maximize precautions, and who, even if they've had the vaccine, because I've had these conversations, even if they've had the vaccine, they still don't necessarily want to go to the doctor, you know? And I've said, look, you've had the vaccine, you could walk through the COVID ward and you'd be fine. They're not having any of it. So the vaccine passport is going to become, and here's the, and I know, Jesse, we've talked about that, but the insidious overtaking of the private sector with the by these measures, right? You know, it's corporate oligarchs now who are siding politically in a very conspicuous way. So even if government doesn't require it, a lot of private venues are going to. So I think, yes, this is going to be a thing for a while.
Oh, boy. Nan, I'm really bothered how the system can tell gigantic lies like these are Jim Crow laws in Georgia. And honestly, it's not that I'm surprised, because I think these people are despicable. But stuff like that is so out of line and not even close to true, and frankly, disrespectful of the people who actually had to live through real Jim Crow laws. How do they continue to get away with this crap?
I mean, I know we've commiserated about this for a long time. There is an incredible amount of money and power, especially, and I think the tech industry is a perfect example of that. The folks who run these entities are distinctly on the left. They are authoritarians. They consider themselves enlightened authoritarians. My Ivy League alma mater has churned out a couple of generations worth of them now. I witness it firsthand. They feel quite convinced that they know the way forward for human beings, for the planet, for our society. They see government as a benign actor. They see themselves as forces for good. They're almost like they are kind of, Jesse, it's like the analogy John D. Rockefeller was, as we know, an enormously the wealthiest man in the United States for many, many years. And the early part of the 20th century, latter 19th century, he pondered. It was on his conscience. God has endowed me, he said, with this wealth. It is my obligation to use it for good. And I think in some sense, without the good Lord coming into it, unfortunately, without the humility that comes with religiosity, these folks see themselves as the ones who are endowed with the power and the wisdom to rule the rest of us.
And you nailed it there. Yeah, that's the fact they think they're the good guys is what scares me. Thank you so much, Nan Hayworth. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Jesse. Always. Thank you.
You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. Oh, it's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Get a jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off.
Listen to me. If you had a suitcase full of your net worth, and you got it all, so right there in the suitcase, would you take that suitcase and open it up and just set it on your front lawn and then go in and go to sleep for the night? Of course you wouldn't. It'd be idiotic, right? I have to break this to you. If you're a homeowner and you don't have home title lock, you're doing the same thing. If you're a homeowner and you don't have home title lock, you are critically vulnerable to home title theft. Your home title is online, and these guys are browsing the web as we speak, looking for more. They can hack into, forge a signature on it, take a loan out against it. You have to pay that loan back. It's your biggest financial vulnerability. Why don't you have it protected? Go to HomeTitleLock.com and sign up today. Use the promo code RADIO. That gets you 30 free days of protection. HomeTitleLock.com. We'll be back. I want you to look at this. You know what you're looking at when you're looking at this? You're looking at scumbags south of the border dropping off a 3-year-old and 5-year-old girl over a 14-foot border wall. That's what you're looking at right there. Imagine that, 3 years old. Man, you should be home eating Doritos and hanging out with your parents, getting chucked over a 14-foot border wall. That's how bad it is right now on our southern border. Joining me now to talk about that and other things is Mike Howe. He's a former Department of Homeland Security official and a senior advisor at the Heritage Foundation. Mike, I don't think people realize just how horrific the situation is on the border right now.
It's terrible. I've been hearing about the March numbers. We're going to set all-time records. Anywhere from over 150,000 to 175,000. It's terrible, but that's exactly what happens when you put up the green light for child smugglers, that if you drop a kid off at the border, they're going to get in. Joe Biden took, you know, to the podium last week, and he told smugglers exactly what they wanted to hear. Business is open, and it's been that way for months. As the late, great Dr. Seuss would say, it is disorder at the border, all by Biden's executive orders. It is terrible.
It is that. And where are they going, Mike? We clearly don't have the facilities to house them. Those are all bursting at the seams. Where are they taking these people?
Well, they're flying throughout the interior, and they're even flying them directly from Central America up into the interior by restarting this Obama-era Central American Minors Program, which is just basically a new route for illegal immigration where you don't even have to make the journey. We're just going to send a plane for you and fly you wherever you want to go. It's really what they're trying to do here. The problem for the Biden administration isn't the amount of people whatsoever. It's the amount of facilities. Once they get all the money they're going to be asking for to set up all these facilities, they're just going to turn the border into an Amazon Prime. You drop off an illegal alien, they get wherever they want in the country, 2 days, and it's free.
Okay, explain this Obama program of picking people up in Central America. I think that's going to be news to quite a few people.
Yeah, it's called the Central America Miners Program. The theory from the Obama administration is, well, you say the journey's too dangerous, and that's why we don't like illegal immigration. So we're just going to fly you up here into the interior of the country and then wait for your claims to be heard out. And keep in mind, these claims are not, they get adjudicated as fraudulent or not meeting the standards. So they know, career staff of the department already flagged this in the Obama era. They say, this is just a vector for illegal immigration. These people aren't even eligible, because the kind of relief that folks are eligible for under asylum law is really, really discreet. You have to be a victim of government persecution based on very limited categories. It has to be specific. It's just not an avenue for mass migration. We do have an avenue for people to come to the U.S. It's called legal immigration. You don't need to start new programs that just blur the lines between illegal and legal. And that's what the Central American Miners Program does.
What's going on with the border wall? We heard a lot about the border wall, and just so people are clear, border walls don't necessarily do a ton of good out in rural areas, but they are critical in urban areas where the illegals can melt into the population really, really quickly. What do we have? What don't we have right now, Mike?
Right. So border wall is huge. It is not the total of border security, but it is an absolutely necessary component of total security. It is that because it gives officers time to respond. It slows them down. It takes time to try to climb over a border wall, and agents can search. Right now, everyone's just dealing with the illegal aliens at the facilities. So these areas are unpatrolled. What the Biden administration did when they stopped construction, just cold turkey, is they left a lot of areas where there's, you know, some wall, an opening, and then more wall, an area where a gate should have been, aren't even installing the gate. They also aren't finishing contracts where the technology was supposed to go on top of the walls. Think cameras, sensors, that sort of thing. And so we have just these areas with disheveled border wall, areas with just basically rods sticking out of the ground. And then you have to pay contractors to go in and rehabilitate that area. And they've already bought the materials and, you know, paid out and outlaid a lot of that money. So we were essentially paying money not to build wall, all because Biden thinks he scores a political point off of it. And the message, it's so simple south of the border. They hear that ICE is shut down and the border wall is stopping and Biden's dice. So these actions have massive consequences.
What's the end game for Biden? Is it just that they're the open borders party and they have to take this stance and they're just going to have to try to weather this storm for 4 years? Or is there some nefarious end game they're going for with all that?
Look, we've said it a lot. It's no secret. The left thinks mass illegal immigration helps them politically. They think this will help them turn Texas, Georgia, Florida permanently blue. It is not a coincidence that they're doing this at the same time. They want to completely loosen all voting restrictions, not require any ID, have everyone voting from home, get illegal aliens on the voter rolls. That is their game plan. They have been on record over and over again talking and bragging about how this mass immigration changes the country in ways that they think will benefit them. Whether that's true or not, we'll see, but that's certainly why they are doing it. And all they're going for now in the immediate short term is to get away with it as much as they can. So that's why they're going to do what I said earlier, where they're just going to pump up these facilities, try to get it as folks into the country as quickly as possible. So, you know, people aren't nagging and looking at all those terrible pictures of these facilities that are overcrowded.
Mike, is there anything people can do now? It doesn't seem like there is. We just have to sit back and watch the carnage unfold, right? There's nothing that the average American who's watching this and hearing you talk and losing their mind, they can't do anything, right?
Well, you got to get on your state representatives. The attorney generals throughout the states are really going to be the front line of defense in this. We need more lawsuits. There's been some good ones coming out of Texas. But people all over need to really get on their state and locals because they can do stuff, because the states and localities bear some of the biggest burdens. When people come to this country illegally, they aren't eligible for a lot of the federal benefits, although they get a lot. What they primarily get is a lot of the local education, healthcare, et cetera. These local communities are stuck with the cost. There was a guy down in Texas, a Daily Mail story about how they built a detention facility across the street from his house. Completely plummeted the property value. His house is worthless now. He has DHS parked out in front of the streets. That guy needs to be at his, you know, getting the word out, calling his local representatives, encouraging the state AGs to get out and actually, you know, not just talk about this, but to sue. They did this every single day and twice on Sundays when I was in the Trump administration. And they got, you know, a judge out in the Rock in, you know, Hawaii holding up with national injunctions, all these actions that eventually over the course of 3 years, you know, the Trump administration was actually able to get on the books. But these lawyers and attorneys generals, they need to step up their game and fight back.
Do we have AGs that are doing this already? Why aren't they already doing this, Matt? The leftists do it all the time.
Right. There are some, but there needs to be more, and there needs to be more of a concerted effort. Luckily, there are a few groups that are starting up trying to guide, litigation. These are led by former Trump officials that were high up in the administration. They're trying to advise state AGs and others how to go about this. The regulatory process, which is a morass for all of us, you have the ability to comment on these regulations and then sue basically when your comment isn't, afforded the consideration it deserves. They're kind of organizing this effort. We need a lot more of it. And heroes need to step up. It's not enough just to talk about it like I'm doing right now. We need to get out there and encourage folks to actually, you know, get the rubber to meet the road on this.
Matt, how concerned are we about terror coming across the board. I know that was a big time concern, especially under Obama when ISIS was going wild and inspiring all these attacks. Is that a legit concern right now, or is that just kind of on the back burner?
No, it's a huge concern. Look, we saw special interest aliens crossing the border recently from, you know, countries, non-continental countries, you know, Middle Eastern countries, countries, people who are on terror lists. And the problem doesn't just stop when, you know, people cross the border. We see a lot of problems with people not assimilating into the United States and, you know, second generation immigrants, people who are the children of immigrants who haven't assimilated fully. They're prime recruiting targets for ISIS and other groups. I mean, look what we just saw horrifically happen out in Colorado. I mean, all this stuff is preventable. We need an immigration system that actually works, but we also need to do something on the home end here. We need to assimilate people into the American mainstream, and people shouldn't just be coming here because America is where they can make more money. They should be coming here, and we should demand of them that they actually want to and become Americans.
How's our legal immigration system under Joe Biden? Are they ramping that up, turning it down? You don't hear about that because the other part's so bad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no area of immigration where the answer for them is not more. You look at the numbers on visas going out, it's ratcheting it up big time. And any big category you could think of where Trump tried toning it down a little bit or instituting some sort of controls, they're doing away with. They brought into the Department of Homeland Security a guy named Cass Sunstein, who was the regulatory wizard of the Obama administration, the guy who really introduced a lot of new theories of coercing human behavior through regulation. Well, they planted him right in the Department of Homeland Security. You know, this is a guy who used to be a White House czar, you know, a high-level guy. He's a DHS for a reason, because that is how much interest and dedication they have to looking through every little line of regulatory and administrative action the Trump administration did and getting rid of. They have never met an immigration vector, legal or illegal, they didn't like. It's happening across the board.
Matt Howell, thank you so much, brother.
You got it.
All right. It's time for some heavy D. Hang on. You know we're fans of heavy D on this show. Governor DeSantis in Florida has been outstanding. Now, remember, don't fall in love with the politician. You remember how Kristi Noem took her presidential chances and just sunk them to the bottom of the ocean recently. It only takes one big mistake, but Heavy D, daggone if he doesn't bring it on a daily basis.
So I became eligible on Monday. I haven't had it yet, but I am planning on doing it this week. I'm not sure we're going to do it on camera. I mean, we'll see. I mean, if you guys want a gun show, maybe we could do it, but probably better off not. And so we're looking forward to.
I love that guy. He and I, we see eye to eye on things. All right, I'll see you tomorrow. Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these farrier drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.